Monday. Coming up with the strains of the Jackson 5. Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
Hey, guess what? We've got a special third sitting with the three guys on today, all the way from the mean streets of Idaho. The mean streets, the one, the only. Welcome back to the podcast, Mr. Who?
Sock puppet number 99 problems, Chad Heft.
He's claiming sock puppet status.
Well, he's also, he's acknowledging his problems, though.
And I know the ranking 99 might be a little high, but yeah. It's very fitting.
And also the count of problems is a little low.
Well, I know, and I think it might average out to be all right.
Yeah.
We have had Chad here before. Those, remember, Chad and Liz Mealy came in together.
I am missing Liz.
September of 2014.
Sweet, shout out to Liz.
Liz.
Yeah. Sweet, we miss you. Sweet,
we got three guys on, and the color scheme is off again. I'm not liking this.
Well, you know, but, when it's, you never say that when it's me and Petey and you.
No, I don't. Well, isn't that weird?
Petey's white. He's a Caucasian.
Sort of.
He's a Caucasoid.
Caucasoid, created by, as he says, honky.
Living in the caves, created by Dr. Yakub.
And I've been introduced in Idaho as the blackest guy in Idaho. So
well, really?
You probably are. You probably are.
Help a little bit.
It doesn't say much.
Yeah.
I know, but here we are.
So we're here with you guys today. We're happy to be here with you guys. Hope you guys are. Chad chose to bring us in with some happy music.
Bobbing up the Monday.
Yeah, Motown sucks.
It sucks.
It's my favorite Jackson period.
Who's
right there.
That person? Really, the early Jacksons?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I love it.
It was happy bubblegum music.
Yeah, yeah. But it's badass.
Really get down
that was,
with
that. That was back when Michael Jackson was a kid that touched you.
Yeah.
And then he became an adult that touched kids.
Yeah, something along those lines. I didn't really start getting down with them until my blackness is not going to let me address what Andy just said. So I got to go past it.
That was right, that was a good turn of a phrase.
I got to go past it. When the Jacksons left and went to Epic, that first Jacksons album, that I was like, okay, that was when they kind of became real. I got a couple of their songs right now that let me show you where to go and stuff like that. Now, see, you're going to force me to find some Jackson shed.
I probably still have that.
You probably have it, I'm sure.
Well, it depends. I rotate things in and out of my phone from time to time, music-wise, anyway. I did buy that Jackson's album because it came up on the podcast, that Moving Violations album.
Moving Violations, yeah.
With All I Do Is Think of You on it.
Yeah.
That was 74. That was a couple albums after I left Motown.
Let's see what I got here. Oh, I got This Place Hotel. Is that all I got?
It's a podcast. See? Of us scrolling through our phones, people.
Yep. Well, it's just like life, you know? It's just like, this is what I do anyway.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't have that much access on my phone right now.
No, I'm like, I had a problem.
I got like
well,
eight
you know
songs.
What? I looked to, I was teaching a boot camp class the other day, and I have all my music on my phone, so I went to plug it in. And the app crashed. That's what I'm saying. My apps are all crashing on my phone.
Which app?
This was Amazon. So I had
music.
To re-download Amazon. All of my playlists are gone.
Is it your memory? You got too much memory
going
on?
What the fuck, man?
That's why I just traded in my phone, because the memory was killing me. Dude. I was like, you know what? It's worth for me to just stop.
You know, you don't
upgrade.
You can just do a factory reset. If that happens.
I don't even know if I want
and then
to
you got to re-download.
Well, I don't
want to
Google everything,
well, just,
Andy.
Yeah. And I just
no, you just
got
to re-download
Andy,
all your apps.
Andy just knows the shit out of his head. Andy is Google, people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a pain in the ass because you got to re-download your apps. Everything on your SD card should still be there. It will still be there, but.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's some apps that I don't have any business having or never use, and then you go to uninstall them. Like, well, if you uninstall this, it's going to mess up other stuff probably.
So like there's music that's just gone. Like I had Let Me Show You Where to Go. It ain't here. And now that I'm looking, I'm like, it's not here. Which is a great Jackson song, which is fucking off my phone now.
Maybe Cybernet's kicking in.
Maybe.
That's probably it.
Let me see if I Google it.
Come with me if you want your playlist back.
I'm gonna fucking pop right up.
The song does exist.
Yeah.
It's a real song.
Yeah, but they got this shit. That's the one. Let me see that plugin. This is when the when they left Motown, they stopped being kids. Because they were kids during that time.
Right.
The time you're talking about.
It's a lot of bubblegum.
Yeah, well, you know, I do love backup singers. I love that little boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, 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 boom, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I like that too. This was something they were on, like a Holland, some European.
Those old TV shows with all.
Yeah,
bell
you know,
bottoms.
They go to Europe and all the.
Hell yeah.
It's a lot of white people just looking at them. Ooh, the sound is terrible. This.
Yeah, it's a live version. Yeah.
Oh, this one, they're actually dancing. I don't think this is one of the.
Temptations, the Four.
The audience is dancing. No, this is. Let me show you where to go. See how grown they are? No, this looks like.
Yeah, the sound is awful on this.
Yeah, this. This looks like. No, this is not the better one. I don't know what the fuck that was. Let me see what video says. You heard about the shooting today, right?
I didn't.
Yeah, yesterday and today. We're recording on Friday evening right now. We're recording one episode this evening and one tomorrow. Our schedules are all over the place.
It's three guys on late night.
Yeah,
ladies.
it is late night.
Yeah, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
There was a guy
who yeah, he's a cop.
Killed three people, shot like three others over like three different locations. Started with his estranged wife, killed her, and then he just kept shooting people.
Yeah,
you know,
murked her out, and then
and he's a cop. He's a like a federal some kind of law enforcement cop. Officer, right?
So you think he'll probably need some retraining?
A little bit. Let's hope he gets it.
He was on administrative leave.
He's going to get some kind of
leave. He was already on administrative leave.
Well, he's already in the process of being found not guilty.
Well, I think he was Hispanic, so all bets are off.
Hey, yeah. Look, the real color, it's about the blue. It's about the blue, the brotherhood.
Blue Lives
Matter.
Yeah,
the blue.
You know what's weird is people who, like when someone says Black Lives Matter, and someone goes, what do you mean only Black Lives Matter?
I did say right? what I said.
And then but then not, those people, those same people right. will say Blue Lives Matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they don't mean only Blue Lives Matter. So they're holding Black Lives Matter people to a different standard. So now from now on, whenever someone says Blue Lives Matter, I'm going to say, what do you mean only Blue Lives Matter? Just to,
what about red lives from the
just
fire department?
Well,
and there's
them.
No reason to bring the Smurfs into this. It's conversation.
Just give them the same only ... treatment that they give you, just to frustrate the hell out of them, because it's such a dumb argument.
I had this song on my phone, and now it's gone.
You know whose lives don't matter? Pastels. Pastel lives do not matter.
They do not matter.
They're
what
out.
Are, what, are you homophobic?
I didn't say pink.
Oh, shout out to Rod and Karen. I was listening to their podcast the other day. They do a segment where they discuss gay issues. And their theme song for that is a Sylvester song, Do You Want to Rock? So I was like, oh, this is for Randall? This is.
I'll tell you what, Rod, he's in the, like my top three of people whose voice don't match what they look like.
No, not at all.
And I wonder how many people like started listening to Black Eye Tips, and then Rod said something that upset them, and they're like, dude, I'm going to North Carolina next week. I'm going to stop by and kick his ass. And then they look him up, and they're like, well, I'm pretty good at angry emails.
You know what? You do your Rod.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
You.
Dear Rod, big jerk face.
You go ahead and do that. You go mess with Rod if you want to. You go ahead. You don't want these problems. You don't want these problems. Just this is probably around the time I really, obviously I knew all the Motown stuff from my parents, obviously. But when this came, this was like more for, oh, this is for me.
Right.
In the meantime, my parents were listening to it too. But, you know, you're in your bedroom with a little Fisher-Price record player, the first record player your parents get you, the white Fisher-Price. I think I had the white one. Remember the
my
white?
My first record player.
It was like plastic.
Yeah.
Pretty durable, though.
Got it for Christmas. Everybody got it for Christmas. You get the record player and the black spy tape recorder. Remember the big, flat tape recorder. Y'all are younger. Y'all are way younger than me. Y'all don't know about that.
I don't remember the tape recorder. We got regular old.
It looks like a stenographer's tape recorder. It was long and flat.
Well, we had the long ones.
And you
but not like was it a top loading?
Yes, and it looked like a rectangle. So look, it was about that
and
thick.
The top flips
and it
up.
Was long, and you push it, and the top flipped up.
Yeah. Now, why did they call it a spy?
Because that was what like. You looked any movie involving spies or something like that, that tape recorder was there, and you had to push the red and the black buttons together
to record.
And the red button was big.
Yeah,
and you had to push them both together. That was the first one you
record and play. You had to push simultaneously together. in order to record.
Yeah.
So kids can spy on their parents, record arguments.
There was a pause button on the far end that you could pause while recording. So I got the Fisher Price record player, and I got the little spy tape recorder.
Now, did you ever go into like class with it taped to your chest? You know?
No, dude, because it was big. It was big. It's not little. Right. It's fucking big.
Enough gain weight.
It was big, and I think you had to have an external mic. I think.
Oh,
you
we
did.
Didn't have that. Oh. We had probably a slightly more compact version of that. It was a rectangle. It was bulky, but it didn't have any external things. But I guess just a few years later, I guess that era was fading and the boombox was beginning.
Yeah.
So we had those little tape recorders, but very soon we got a boombox.
Well, we all had those too,
and that had the bass and treble knobs, the tone knob, the loudness button.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. Once you found bass and treble, anything with tone, you were like, fuck out of here.
Tone.
Well, tone. The best part about those big boom boxes, too, is you could actually use them as your spy recorder as well.
Yeah.
Just depends on the situation you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just lean on it, sit on it. What's that? Don't worry about that, though.
And then some people would get, like, the big fucking boombox, the giant ones.
My older brother.
Walk around with
them. He had the big one. We were
some
in
of them
Germany.
Had detachable speakers, too. Yeah.
Those came later.
Yeah.
But we all had. I remember when I was on the I was on the science team at John Jay High School.
Science team?
Science team.
It was science team and math team. You would go to the competition.
I would go to science practice.
And you would just do team. You would just do like
Mom, have you seen my test tubes?
Like the math team would do math and the science team would do science.
So you would let her in science.
You could. Yeah. Yeah. My closest friend, my best friend Brian Russell, was on the math team. And it was really just an excuse to hang out. So I was like, I'll be on the science team.
Right.
I knew science. I didn't know math, but I knew science. Specifically, I knew anatomy and physiology. I didn't know physics and any of that bullshit.
Right.
But
were you first
anatomy
string?
And physiology.
First string anatomy?
I was first bone.
Don't know much about history.
Yeah, I did know science. And we would, our things, when my high school walked in John Jay, we had a huge, like, box. And we would walk in to Lisa and Cult Jam to every place. We just come walking in.
Which song? That first one? What was that called?
Let me see if I can find the song.
I remember their first one, and then they had that song a couple years later.
So how big was the volcano you eventually built?
Big enough, we just pushed the teacher into it.
What do you think, they're amateurs, Chad? Volcanoes. Mm-hmm. These guys are building solar systems.
We pushed it
out of styrofoam balls.
I think it was.
You push play, starts rotating, jams kick out.
We used to ride the bus over there.
Is the sun a disco ball?
And then we would go in. You have to take tests. That was
Quest, but you take tests.
Yeah, exactly like Vision Quest.
We take a referee tests. Refing your test.
Damn, this fucking thing, man. Everything has a commercial on it now. You know that? Oh, this is an Avengers commercial.
Get an ad
hyped. I haven't seen it yet. I don't want any spoilers. I'm trying to stay away when I see people talking about it. Most people have been very respectful.
I don't even get the references on comic book movies anymore.
You see JL's spoilers. I am the captain now.
Yeah, that was funny. There you go, Andy.
That's fantastic.
We used to come into this. Can you feel the beat with it? This was the John Jay science team and math team's song.
Oh, shit. The science team's here, yo.
Yep.
This party's about to get turned up.
This is Randolph with, in one hand, he's got a protractor. In the other hand, he's got eye black.
Yep.
He's putting eye black on his eyes.
Yep.
Yo, get that Letterman's jacket ready.
You don't want the glare.
Even then, I was into short, curvy women. Even then.
In fact, that's what we tried to make first season.
We watched Weird Science. We were like, we could do this. It can be done.
We can be
We're scientists,
guys.
All right? We would come into this. Surprisingly, we did well. We would win, like, overall for team. We would win, take team prizes.
Yeah. I remember that EA Sports science game.
What was
came out.
When you make your player? Oh, man. Dude, I made sure I looked as close to Beaker as possible.
Why was Beaker's everybody's favorite?
Well, I'm not saying I
look a lot like Bella Gray Beaker.
I got a little beaker in me. You know?
Very beakerish. Speaking of that, I gotta take some pictures.
A hint of beaker.
No, just a hint.
Just a hint of beaker.
Let me make sure I can see your shirt.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Randy Watson.
Chad's wearing his Randy Watson shirt.
There you go.
Mr. Randy Watson.
And
Andy looking like Andy looks.
That's what I look like.
Yeah, this is a volcano warming up right here.
So 80s right here.
It is.
If it goes down for me, that's going to be the picture that they use in the press. that's going to be the picture that they use. His friends all said he was a nice guy, quiet.
I mean, he had glasses. How do you not trust that?
He was on the science team, for Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. So what's been happening, Chad? Tell the people, for those who don't remember you, tell the people about yourself a little bit.
Originally from here, friends with AK, Rob Mayer, and...
Well, then,
AK is Andy Klein, people, yeah, that's what they by call the me. Way.
Those of
the,
you...
The assault rifle of comedy.
The assault rifle.
Those of you who listen to J.L. Covan's podcast...
Jean-Louis Covan.
You may have heard Mike Payne and Rob Mayer on there. Rob's been on it, right? Yeah, he has.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Anyway, Chad and I... and Rob and Payne and Chad and I all started comedy around the same time, and we were all... part of the same clique. We hung out together all the time.
The prick
wrote
click.
Sketches
pretty
together.
Sure you guys' clique had a name that Chad
the prick click. We wrote a screenplay together. We were very close. And Payne and I, when I moved to New York, together.
How sad was that screenplay?
And that's when my life fell apart.
It was great.
Was it good?
Yeah. It was good. But we've known each other since 98, known each other doing comedy. So whenever you hear those guys, we're tight with them. So don't come up to me like, I heard that Mike Payne guy. I didn't like him. I'll be like, well, fuck you, man.
Chad guy's kind of annoying.
Yeah, Chad. So anyway, and I just interrupted Chad's story.
I guess I got to a point in my life where it was, I'm making way too many bad decisions and know a lot of people that helped me easily make bad decisions.
And then 5 more years went by.
And then I said, yeah, now I've done the hole, dug the hole deep enough. So I went out and went out to Idaho.
I feel like, because you went to Boise?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been there.
Now, what was the reason? Your sister's there, right?
Yeah, I got my little sister Michelle out there and let me move in for a little bit and then bounced out.
She was already out there, yeah.
Got a job that I'm still at today. It's helping. My welcoming gift to Boise was diabetes. First year I was there. It's like, welcome to Idaho. Here's your diabetes.
Of course.
I feel like places like that are places a lot of people go to for like starting over.
Well,
are there a lot of like just kind of weird drifter loner types out there? Am I wrong?
I'm sure there are.
I'm basing it on nothing other than it just seems like that's what will happen.
Well, you know what is much appreciated is the people listening back in Idaho right now. It's like, just thank God no one brought up fucking potatoes already, you know? But dude, I'm telling you, it's a fantastic city.
We don't
the people
do hack shit, you know that by now. potatoes.
Dude,
I'm telling you, potatoes. It's definitely annoying.
Why
but
we'll talk about the corn.
Well, it's
the children of
them. But no, it's a cool ass place. At least when I went out, like, why'd you move out here? I'm like, for the traffic and the weather, because both are quite beautiful in comparison to here.
Right. Well, we have like the worst traffic in the country.
It's so like, funny to hear people back home like, oh, dude, there was so much traffic getting into work. I'm like, please, man.
How long did it take you? 15 minutes? Yeah, that's rough.
15 whole minutes in a row? Okay.
But no, it is a cool ass place, man. I've just been keeping with this day job. As much as I want to
stabilize.
Yeah, as much as I want to be out there doing comedy, it's like you got to have a nice nest egg and a nice head of steam before you make that jump. And, you know, my job is quite easy. I mean, I just do it's pretty much a factory job.
That's another thing that I feel like just happens in places like that, like just factories.
Well, yeah.
A lot of blue collar lunch pail kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know.
Stanhope say people who gauge their life worth by their how much they make an hour. Remember that bit that he did? How much you make? $14 an hour.
Yeah.
Plus bennies. Do you get benefits? Yeah, sometimes after a show, a woman I don't even know will blow me. It's a benefit.
Dude, I will definitely trade that in for being able to do stand-up full-time and just, you know, be able to make ends meet. But Do you really want to roll those dice and fail?
Well, you got to be smart about it.
Yeah, and then so that's why I'm still there. That and I pretty much consider my job as a place where I go to listen to podcasts.
Also, at some point, you got to be willing to just step out on faith, as my mother would say. Just got to be willing.
Got to be smart about it.
You be smart, yeah, but you got to be willing to step out on faith, too. At some point, so you got to, you know.
Well, I can tell I'm definitely ready at times by just how angry I'll get at work over the smallest shit. And it's like, the reason why is you're not doing what you want to do.
I started going to therapy for that.
I'm
talking about I went today.
I'm there myself.
Just today to go talk to her.
So I'm really angry at work again. Yeah, I think I should just
give me the wrong advice. She tells me I should be angry. Just give me the wrong advice.
She's not even working on. She's not even working on the right things.
Like, you don't even care anymore, do you?
Yeah, go ahead and be angry. That's fine. You gonna still pay me?
As long as the check clears, keep coming back.
So, so Boise diabetes,
mm-hmm.
right? Anything else? Has anything else happened in the last 8 years?
There was a nice cool
things move slower out there.
Nice cool poker trip I got to make up to
Oregon. Oh yeah, I saw you posted about that.
Yeah, went up.
How'd that comedy tour go?
Escort to New York.
When you were on the Escort to New York, and we found out some of the
some things,
information about the comedy world. We called you.
Yeah, man.
That's redacted.
Yeah, redacted.
No, that one was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Although I do remember there's every comedy scene in every city has their page for, you know, comedy, like Boise comedy page and stuff. Yeah. And there was one cat that works for the club. It was like, who do you want to see? And I'm just throwing out like all the names. And one of the names I threw out the most, Rory Scovel.
Okay.
Well, guess who came to town the weekend I had to zip? I'm missing that.
DC Zone.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's been twice
what
I've gone
point
out
did
of
you
there.
Say three guys on? Did you say that at any point?
Yeah.
Slept shit out
you. Oh, please, dude. Please. Especially for the Idaho Laugh Fest.
I totally said that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, if you want me to go look it up, I'll look it up.
Idaho Laugh Fest.
Facebook remember.
Is that y'all's little...
Yeah. It's been going for 3 years.
They do a podcast section?
Actually, I think they're doing it this year. Yeah. They're bringing in the podcast stuff. And the thing is like, I'd like to work with a couple cats around there, because if we can get you out there, because obviously they're not going to pay the Idaho Laugh Fest. It's still new, but there's definitely
just
come gigs.
Come stay at your sister's place.
Oh, it's big enough. They got this old Mormon house, and so there's like cabinets and all the extra room, and
a lot of children's virginity ghosts floating through.
How do you end up in Oregon for poker? What happens there? Is that a tournament you want?
Well, I got a couple regular games, and these guys always talk about going to Pendleton. And
what is that, a casino?
Yeah, Indian casino. And it was a lot of fun. So
what is this is the Texas Hold'em tournament?
Yes.
What is the buy-in? Or the entry fee?
They have one big tournament per day. The first one was 100 on Friday and 200 on Saturday and Sunday, and I just did Saturdays. I stuck around till the tournament started on Sunday.
Okay.
So
every day is a whole tournament.
Yeah. Then they got satellites that you can play in the night before, and that's where a lot of the fun stuff happens. There was one satellite I'm in. I'm sitting next to this old lady. There's a seat between us, and it was this old lady, and I'm talking with her, and then here comes this younger 30, maybe mid 30s chick, sits down. Within a couple minutes, she's like, looks at the dealer and is like, excuse me, this lady's perfume is very strong and I have sensitive nose. I'm like, can I move my seat?
You're in a casino.
Exactly. And so my friend's sitting across from her at the, and she's he's like, I'll switch, I don't care. He moves to her seat, she moves to the other side. And my buddy James, as we're playing, long story short, is he ends up going all in, or calling her all in, with pocket queens versus her ace rag. And
wait, ace rag?
Ace three, ace two.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the queens hold up.
I don't know the term. Huh?
The queens hold up.
Shit, basically.
And so she, the young lady just walks away, and the old lady waits for the perfect amount of distance before she goes, you know, if she would have stayed there, she would have got them queens.
That's true.
Like, that is just fancy. And I was reason I enjoy that so much was I know how much she loved throwing that dagger at that chick.
That's true. Because she fucking move. Okay, fine, you move. You miss your fucking? Yeah. All right, well, yeah. Fuck you.
Well, dude, she could have just gone about it in a very nicer way, but really? If you want to be a bitch about shit.
Can't do that.
But yeah, I'll tell you
so
what.
So you didn't win?
No, this is one of the things I underestimated. Well, aside from possibly my poker skills. But actually, I was playing quite well leading into the tournament, but right. I underestimated just how much Lady Luck has final damn say.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
did you lose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was out of the 9 tournaments or satellites I got into, 4 of them I got bounced out on the river after leading from the flop, and one of them was on the turn. I got bounced out, and I was like, dude, that's just a lot of numbers where I'm ended up on the wrong side of things. I'm not going to push all my chips in on like a draw, but dude, it was a lot of fun.
What's the prize if you win the tournament?
I think the first day was a couple grand, and the second day was about 9,000. I had a friend of mine get to the final table, and they did, I think, a 7-way split for the prize for all the top 7 spots. They just split, but then they played it out for the bracelet.
Oh, okay.
And but it would yeah, that's just, you know, you can make that journey with a couple hours, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Nice little getaway.
So remember when the whole Texas Hold'em boom started, and like everyone was playing Texas Hold'em?
Yeah,
I just never clubs fully would have Texas Hold'em.
Yeah,
contests.
It was everywhere.
Like on off nights.
I didn't get good. I never really played that much, so I didn't like. I know you and Rob used to play a lot, and like you were throwing all these terms out, like
yeah,
a rag.
Yeah,
I'm like, huh? What?
I know. I'm sure there's people that
and
like,
you
dude,
like
quit
numbers.
Talking
I'm
about
surprised
poker.
You never get good at something like.
Well,
that.
During that time, I was living in New York, and I didn't know a group of people in New York who played poker, yeah. But all my friends back here did. So if I was back down here,
you know who played? Remember a kid, Jeremy Schachter?
I remember Jeremy Schachter. Yeah.
He played.
Did he really?
I wonder what he's doing now. He's probably alone.
I don't know. But I didn't know like a group of people who got together and played a lot in New York. Yeah. So I would come down here and you guys were playing all the time. And then I would just like, you know, sometimes sit in and play a little bit, lose almost immediately, and then just go hang out, watch TV or something.
Yeah.
But you guys were playing all the time. I remember that. And watching that, all the TV shows and shit, the World Poker Tour,
the World Series of Poker.
A compulsive person, though.
Yeah,
yeah, that is true.
He's gonna grab it and hold it.
But I'll tell you what,
letting this shit go.
I do love playing because it's the one game of it's one of the games of cards where you can bluff your way. You can't bluff your way out of blackjack.
No,
okay. But here,
that's
like,
why I like blackjack.
No, I like blackjack too. But there are things you can do to help yourself. But ain't no bluffing.
Yeah. No. Right. In poker, yeah, it is about the numbers and all that stuff. But I did have a lot of fun just sitting there and chit chatting at the tables. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was an expensive good time.
Yeah, no one talks about.
So you do have like a poker face routine? You put on glasses and a hoodie?
No,
nothing.
No. I do want to. One of the things that I'll try to do is be so entertaining that they almost feel bad about, like, if I'm in a hand against the chip leader and he's like, I could either buff this guy out of this hand or call him down, but you know what? I'm enjoying this guy's a good time. Right. Sure, his first 10 minutes he was bombing, but the last 20 have been fantastic.
I like you, kid. I'm not going to knock you out of the game just yet.
No.
Hey, we'll just hit you with a #3 sock puppet nation.
#3?
Ah, I can't be #3.
Can't be #3.
Can't be #3. I'm only second appearance.
Just hit you with a #3. So,
like I said, that's why I came in with 99 problems.
There you go.
Because I guess, you know, because a bitch ain't one. And right. I've been a perennial, a very single man for a long time. Only with the, I guess... Thank goodness for the mistress of comedy.
Well, you don't have any like stout, corn-fed Midwestern women.
You know when I first
out there, yeah.
Stout.
No, when you arrive there,
have a plow.
When I arrived there, I was like, and then I took a look around. I was like, dude, it's either going to be one of two things. I'm going to have a nice divorcee
right.
I can hook up with,
right.
Or there can be a nice young Mormon chick there? I can mold.
What's it about Mormons in Idaho? Are there a lot there? Is there a big Mormon?
Yeah, there. Well, I mean, we're right next to Utah, but yeah. There is when you drive down the street, it is a coffee shop, church. Like, well,
Mormon,
we drink a lot of coffee so we can stay awake at
Mormons
church.
Mormons can't drink coffee, though, right? It's a stimulant.
No, yeah. But I'm not saying they're all Mormon churches.
Okay, so, but there's temptation on every corner if you're a Mormon.
Yeah, a temptation in quotes, though. You know, it's not like we're going to have awesome temptation, like titty bars over here.
Right.
Yeah. But no, they do
no titty bars. No.
No, they do.
Like
there's
one.
There's a lot of pasties. Those kind of lame stores.
Well, that's how Virginia is, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So you didn't meet some divorcee who's got like a kid and just needs someone to pal around with, someone to watch Netflix with.
You know what,
chill,
I have no, I don't have any clue what it is about that. The last time I ask a chick out, it was hilarious because she said no in the most awesome way, because I was, you know, we were hitting it off. She always came by the comedy club after she got off work.
Right.
We had a rapport. We
milking
always talked.
And she was milking cows up for work.
I don't know what she was doing across the street.
She got laid off at the factory. You know,
she covered the pasties, came over, hang out. Well, we both at this time, like this is one night, and I was like, things were just going so well. I was recovering from bruised ribs, and I was telling her, I was like, yeah, this is the first week I was back at work, able to do a full week. And she's like, me too, because she had, I guess she said she fell off her bike, but she had black eyes and,
Jesus Christ.
I know, and she's recovering. And here's what's funny. Again, we had built this rapport,
right.
And so the conversation's like, oh, you just got back to work? Yeah, yeah. And I was like, today's my Friday. She's like, it's my Friday too. And I was like, dig, oh, so you're off tomorrow? She's like, yeah, I'm off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I was like, you want to do something tomorrow? And she's like, nah, I'm good.
Like, no, I don't want to get my ass kicked anymore.
She said, nah, I'm good.
She says, nah, I'm good, dude. And I was like, you know, usually this is when you feel crushed and a little bit of like, oh, this is embarrassing. But it was so funny, I immediately got over it. She's like, nah, I'm good.
So you didn't find out where the bruises came from?
Well,
she didn't confide in you, right?
I think we know.
Well, then she's not good, though. Like, she's lying to you.
Yeah, she's lying. She don't want to catch another one.
But that's when Chad steps in and says, what's really going on? And you become the
kid. Let me put on my cape.
Hit that Fat Albert with her.
Look,
Fat Albert. How'd you get that bruise on your arm? I fell down the stairs.
I told you Mushmouth was a bad dude.
Dolores, you said you fell down the stairs last week.
How many stairs you got in your house? I live in a house of just stairs.
So do you Tinder? Or do people in Idaho Tinder?
Yes, yeah, I do Tinder, but okay. Apparently
Mormons Tinder.
it was very funny. There was one chick, we had made a connection, and so I was like, you know, now you got to say shit.
Right.
And I just, to me, I don't want to be like, hey, how's it going? Or what's up, girl?
Oh, this is, okay.
Exactly.
Right. You're trying to be original?
Thank you.
This is what's going
to... Is it a common mistake?
This is what's going to be the problem with this story. I guarantee I'm just guessing.
Because
that's something you've done in the past, is try too hard to do what everyone else is not doing. And the girl's like, that was weird. What's he doing? That was strange.
This girl said she was, she read books like she breathed air.
Oh, okay.
And there was a, one other thing that she had in there. It's not like I'm going to go look it up, but the
like flowery language.
Well, like, yeah. So I was just like, all right, as a woman who, as a book breathing woman, how is there ever been a movie that has equaled or surpassed the book?
Is this you texting with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I go, aside from Fast and Furious 2, Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
You know,
joke. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And there was, she said she also randomly blurts out lyrics to songs.
Okay.
And I asked her what...
This girl's crazy. What,
hey, I'm not saying I make good decisions all the time.
You're dating a girl, though, with... You
know? I couldn't leave all the bad...
You dating an autistic girl? You dating Rain Girl?
Couldn't leave all the bad decisions back in D.C. So, yeah, man.
I'm on the spectrum.
And actually, we had a good back and forth.
Okay.
And there was something she said.
So she liked your Tokyo Drift joke?
Yeah.
What did you do? Right. Not accept it over? She started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But you're still texting at this point.
We have a good back and forth. And it was over 2 days.
Okay.
And so, like, she had said something that had referred to, like, the... something that could be, it was something comedy related.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I've never asked. I was like, do you have any favorite comedians?
Oh, no.
Nothing. And then that's when it stopped. Like, that question was where it ended.
Hmm.
And I was like, too personal? And after that, I was like, well, maybe she met another dude. Or
so she didn't reply to that question.
Maybe she saw my credit score. I'm not sure what she saw. But yeah, that was really weird. And I was telling my buddy Ryan about it, and he was like, "He's like, how'd you open up?" And I told him, and he goes, "That's how you started it?" And I was like, "What do you want me to say? Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Yeah,
yeah."
And meanwhile, he moved to New York because he met a girl on Tinder when he was visiting New York.
Oh shit! Is
that's
he still
not
there,
gonna
though?
Work out. that's not gonna work.
I don't know, man. They seem pretty smitten with one
Did
another.
Did she make him delete Tinder?
And I know. But then again, Nowak is one of those cats that can defy the odds.
I was at a show. I was on a show once, but I wasn't on stage. The comic that was on stage was talking to a couple in the crowd who had met on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And after they became a couple, the woman made the man delete Instagram.
Yeah, she's scared.
But she kept it.
Yeah, she's scared. She's also leaving her options open.
Yeah, she kept Instagram.
So she has all the power in that relationship.
Yeah.
She's got all the hand.
Yep. Gotta have a hand.
She's got all the hand. You're going to need it.
See, I think the open, like Philippe Schaeffer's thing is, he just says, how has your week been? Or something like that. The opening is just... Like, if you try too hard to say something impressive,
yeah, it's just an opening.
It's bizarre, I think.
Now, granted, I haven't done this, and I literally have no plans to do this.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me it would just be an opening. Hey, what's happening? I would think the most basic thing to do would be the simplest way would be the best way.
No, and that's fine. Well, you know, after that swing and miss, I'm willing to try just the very bland.
I would think that would be the best. Just,
but I don't know, man. I still kind of have that, like I said, the old school where I want to meet somebody, and you kind of get that. And I know
I got a face to face with you. I'm not going through all them changes.
No, and I think it's great with Tinder and Match and all that stuff, and like it. There's a whole bunch of ways to open up avenues like that, but in the end, I would much rather just, you know, you run into somebody at like Barnes & Noble or you know, just out or after a show or whatever.
It's kind of like everything else, really. Like, people really are annoyed with Facebook. They're annoyed with Twitter. They're annoyed with Instagram. Like, it's always like there's always a new one that no one's annoyed with yet, and then like a year later they're annoyed with that because it's just chasing the same shit.
Yeah.
But as a comic, for example, you have to kind of be on Instagram or anything, Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's where people go now to experience comedians. So you have to be where people go. That's why you go on the road as a comic, because people don't come to your house to watch you do comedy. It's the same with dating, I think. That's where people go now.
Yes.
People aren't in Barnes & Noble looking to meet someone.
No.
Not that they ever were, but they were a little bit at some point.
A little bit, yeah.
Even the grocery store, whatever. But now people aren't in that frame of mind at the coffee shop. They're going on the internet to meet people. So you have to be present there or you don't get to meet people, basically. So that's why you got to start Tindering all the time. You're in DC for a week. Tinder here.
Yeah, you should have already started that.
Just start working on it.
Don't think I haven't.
A lot of swiping right.
Welcome to Three Guys on Love Line.
Swipe, swipe, swipe. You can pull the Tim
Miller. Tim he never swipes left.
That's
only
his
swipe
act,
right.
It's not even a bit. It's true.
Yeah, only swipes right. Throw the net out on the sea.
Because then if a girl matches with you who you don't like, you just don't reply.
Yeah.
But you always have the option.
Yeah, that's a good one. But here's where it's like, what if I swipe right, like a whole bunch of
pictures?
You're
already thinking too much.
I don't know what that blow's going to be like when I wake up the next day.
You're already thinking too much. Stop thinking. Yeah.
Well, dude, and that's the thing. Like, the one thing that has, like, dude, it sucks, but like, I do just love, I wish I didn't love comedy as much as I do, because that's been one thing that's
just
kind of.
So does the audience. Too easy.
The honest would tell you that
Luigi.
You don't. What did you guys do for Cinco de Mayo?
I flew on a plane.
You were on a plane. Andy, don't even fucking
affect
you.
I didn't do shit. You know what? Because Chad came over last night. We were hanging out. And it was like 9-something. We were like, let's go get something to eat. We just got in the car and drove. We went to Qdoba.
Okay.
And they had this Andy's big.
Andy, did you go to Qdoba?
Yeah. Yeah, we went there last night.
Just went there. Where's it at?
It's over. Yeah, by Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah. We went there one time. Yeah, I know. Now that you say that, yeah.
And they had, I mean, they were almost closed, but they had this big display. Cinco de Mayo was all festive, and it was dead. And we were like, really? Qdoba's going to have a celebration?
Do they serve margaritas?
No, I don't think. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Chipotle serves beer, right? They're basically Chipotle.
I think they do.
They're similar.
I think the saddest...
Taco Cabana back home in San Antonio. Ooh, yeah. You can get margaritas there. You can get beer there. I mean, it's shit margarita out of a machine, but...
Right. I think Chipotle just does coronas.
Yeah, it's exactly. My wife's still a margarita. It's a margarita.
It's not Dr. Pepper.
No.
Well, I think the saddest thing about our visit was the Cinco de Mayo display right up front when you walk in was so much bigger than the table of food they had there.
Yeah.
It was just Cinco de Mayo. Oh, here's some mini stuff, you know. Do you like Hershey's Kisses?
Yeah, so I didn't do. I've never done anything for Cinco de Mayo, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a drinker.
You're not a 22-year-old white girl.
Yeah.
Out fucking.
But I was at one point. I mean, I was a 22-year-old dude looking for white girls.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But I'm not a bar guy.
Yeah.
I don't drink. So I've never actually gone somewhere specifically for Cinco de Mayo.
Well, people get mad.
I feel like I'd be annoyed
people
as shit.
People get mad now when people go out just Cinco de Mayo just to fucking tie one on and get blasted. But I'm like, you know, the same shit happens on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Matter of fact, it's fucking worse.
Right.
If you've been in New York during St. Patrick's Day, it's insane. It's hellish.
Right.
And it's not anything you want to be part of.
Well, it's just weird to find out that most of Mexico don't even celebrate it.
Well, this is the thing. And I was thinking about this today. Remember the guy that was on the real world, who's now a congressman?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sean
something, right? He's married to another broad who was also on.
She was on a previous season of Real World.
She
was on the one where the guy had AIDS.
Yeah, she was his friend.
Rachel.
His buddy, yeah.
She was conservative politically.
Yeah.
But she was still a young woman, so she was, I guess more left than most conservatives.
Yeah. Did you party with him for Cinco de Mayo? Is that where this is going?
That was like one of those
party
things
with him
where
and, like, beat his ass in the bathroom.
You know those life lessons that the real world used to have, where she's like, you know, I'm friends with a gay man with AIDS.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I've learned about the world.
Exactly. My wife knows a girl who was on a Real World. What Real World was it?
4.
Amy, you still down there? She got up and left.
She's gone. Real World Boise.
This girl.
We walked her.
This girl that was on one of the Real Worlds.
Yeah.
Went to the same school that she went to. It's like 1 year behind her at school. She's like, yeah, she's kind of a bitch.
Well, we know Eric Patrick. He was on Real World.
Yeah, he did.
The second New Orleans season.
Yeah, so this guy was on, he pops up on everything. The girl does something involving mothers on the internet. I think on Yahoo.
The girl who married the congressman?
They had like 6 kids.
Yeah, no, because she's like Catholic.
They're weirdly religious.
She was like a hardcore Catholic.
Yeah.
That was part of her storyline in the real world.
Yeah, hardcore Catholic, but you're friends with this guy who has AIDS.
He has AIDS and
she would
gay.
Really like ethnic up his name. Like my friend Pedro.
Like, put some stank on it.
Why are you saying it like that?
Cinco de Pedro. She just adds in all kinds of other words.
Well, because Trump tweeted out the thing with the
salad.
Taco salad.
Yeah. Taco
and
bowl.
And he was like, I love Hispanics. And
because we don't remember what you said earlier in the phrase.
Yeah, right. We're fucking stupid. And this guy was on and he was like, you know, I'm Irish and people make jokes about the Irish and it's not the same. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, okay. All that's probably true.
Right.
And you're right. People do make jokes. But here's the thing. You keep saying Hispanics. Cinco de Mayo is not a Hispanic celebration.
Right.
It's a Mexican celebration. Right.
Is there anything that is just a Hispanic
celebration? So even
celebration?
In trying to be like inviting of Hispanics, you're still shitting.
Right.
On Hispanics. They're not all the same.
Yeah.
Not all the same. You fucking idiot. You fucking idiot.
What? Because what was it? It came from the Battle of Pueblo.
Where they fought off the French.
Where the French.
They kicked the French armies in the ass.
This is what I love about America. So we celebrate that time our neighbor kicked the shit out of a French dude, and that's how much we hate the French. Like, remember that time you kicked the shit out of French? High up top.
But here's the thing about that people talk shit about the French. They're like, well, you know, they beat the French, ha ha ha. I'm like, you know, they beat our asses too, right? It's called the Alamo.
Right.
They killed everybody. They killed to the last man.
Well, why aren't we celebrating that too?
The last man, they killed him. Okay. They killed him, and they freed the slaves. That was a big sticking point with the Mexican government. They didn't believe in slavery. So a lot of black slaves went to Mexico. Now, they got shit on by the Mexican people, but they fucking went.
They weren't slaves.
I'm shit on, but I'm free. You know, it's just the thing of, oh, yeah, we love Hispanics. You sure?
Dude, yeah, yeah.
It's just.
You sure? Because you can't tell them apart.
It's just an excuse. It's just a holiday.
Dude, that's exactly it. You know, you'll see, you'll go to the bar and you'll see the dude that spouts racism all the time. Like, coming over here stealing our jobs, but he's celebrating Cinco de Mayo. And you're like, do you know why we celebrate this? Yeah. And he's like, half off Coronas and free nachos.
Yeah, I know. A girl told me at the gym the other day, yesterday I asked her, she said, hey, I was thinking about going over Cinco de Mayo and I'd have some drinks when we finish working out. I was like, really? What do you know what it's for? It's something about the day of, I don't know, people coming back from the dead.
Right, like, she got it with the day of the dead.
I think you mean Dias de del Muertos, and no.
And we celebrate by running from bulls?
It's not the day of the dead. It's literally not the day of the dead.
And then Che Guevara shows up, right?
And he brings an awesome pinata.
Yeah, it's great.
Everybody gets a swing.
I don't even think margaritas are the drink. I think margaritas are like a. It's. I mean, yeah, it's a drink from Mexico, but it's not like the. Mexicans don't go crazy for margaritas. Let me just say that.
I think they're fine with warm tequila.
They don't go crazy. They do drink a lot of tequila. That's a thing. But like margaritas are like. People drink them like at dinner. Like, I'm getting a margarita. It's not like a big thing.
You know. Well, how many 21-year-old white girls are in Mexico, though? Because that's their drink.
Well,
right?
I mean, they're there. They're going to lose kidneys and get farmed out to sex trafficking.
Wake up in a tub full of ice.
Farmed out to sex trafficking. But, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I went to Mexico. It was a great trip. Except I woke up in a tub full of ice with a big scar on my back.
Down or
there,
it's like, this is the worst margarita ever.
I mean, if you're going to get a margarita on the rocks. Don't get it frozen. That's pretty much the way to do it.
Depends
on the mix. You'll fuck you up. Don't fuck with it because of diabetes. Don't fuck with it.
Oh,
a lot of sugar in it.
No, I've never been much of a drinker, so that's a good plus.
Really? No, nothing?
No, you know what? I might have a shot of whiskey before I go on stage, but that's pretty much about the extent. Yeah. And if I do have a night where I am drinking, I only drink to a certain point because I don't want to be out of control or vomiting.
Right.
Well, that's, I'll just cut it right here.
That's what we call getting mature. But I'm like that. I don't like to be drunk.
Well,
fucking dealing with any. Don't even say,
well,
you could just not drink.
You could just not do it. Well, Trump is our next president, so we're going to have a lot more
guy, man.
Taco Bowls.
Well, maybe I'll start drinking then.
Did you see Rob Reiner did you see the clip of Rob Reiner on Morning Joe?
I didn't see the clip. I read about it.
Yeah, I actually watched it. And pull it. See if you can pull it. It's good.
Find it.
The Rob Reiner clip.
Pro, against?
Oh, Rob Reiner?
Yeah.
Very much against. And yeah, he loves Trump.
They're buddies.
And he was saying how, they were asking, well, why do you think people are voting for Trump? He's like, racist. And everybody said they tried to laugh him and poo-poo him away. And he was like, come on, man. He was like, come on, man. What do you, come on, buddy.
You think that's what it's coming down to, Trump and Hillary?
It is at this point.
They've been trying to jam Hillary down our throat since the jump. But I think the thing
it's her turn. That's just how it goes.
The thing I'm afraid of most is that's what it's coming
to.
You
better be afraid of Trump.
Well, and I'm afraid of Bernie runs independent. And what if he ends up actually getting the numbers but still doesn't win? Like, yeah, how much trouble is that going to cause in the streets?
Fuck us and Trump will be president.
Oh.
Because Bernie doesn't give a fuck.
Next thing you know, everybody's just got an anonymous mask running around, lighting shit on fire.
Bernie's not a Democrat. And people don't seem to get this. They don't understand that. That, like, things like the top Democrat is supposed to campaign for the other Democrats. Bernie ain't trying to do none of that shit. He doesn't give a fuck about campaigning for top down and shit like that. He's not a Democrat. He don't give a fuck. You know,
this might be the white guilt speaking, but like when you see Trump and it's like, do we deserve it? Have we been that bad?
There are a lot of people who are racist.
Oh my God.
That's Rob Reiner on Morning Joe.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Incredulous.
Yeah, what do you want to check the tape about from a second ago?
How do you explain that?
There are a lot of people who are racist.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that?
You just said that.
Well, that's true.
It's weird that in this conversation about Donald Trump, Rob Reiner is the loose cannon. What outrageous comments from Rob Reiner about Donald Trump. It's the other way around. It's Donald Trump's outrageousness is causing him to say this.
So you think people that vote for Donald Trump are racist?
They're not all racist.
You led with that, though.
No, I said there are a lot of people who are.
Okay.
There's racism in this country that has been submerged for a long, long time.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's a man
who's
unearthed a lot of it.
The Oscar-nominated director
then... I don't care about this guy's commentary.
Yeah, it's fucking...
Bernie rallies? Do you see any skinheads?
I can't see into their hearts.
Well, no, but you can see if somebody's got a tattoo with a swastika and stuff. Come on, Joe, be honest here. No, seriously.
And then they laugh.
Yeah.
Not all racists.
You know my hands itching to slap you, right? You know that.
What do you think about Robert?
So the... they're not all racists doesn't negate anything that he just said. Rob Reiner just said.
Yeah, literally just said.
The point is,
I would say no, they're actually, they're not all racists, but they're actually worse than racists because they're comfortable being around racists. They don't have any problem with having racists in their midst. None.
The toughest thing, it's so obvious, but the thing I hate about it most is, to the racist, like, you're still on this? You still have a problem with skin color? It's like being in, like, high school and people still learn addition. You're like, don't you want to know what's next? Yeah. Why are you fucking slowing down the process?
No, they don't want to know what's next.
Oh.
So this conversation, though, like Rob Reiner says, there are people, meaning voters, citizens, who are racists. And they're like, no. And they're trying to say, well, no, that's not the case and all that. That's secondary. Trump is a racist.
Yes.
The actual guy.
Yeah.
So let's drop that, concede that point then to Joe Scarborough. Okay, there aren't that many racists out there. What about Trump? Because we have him on record saying what's in his heart.
Well, this guy will say, well, no, he didn't really say that.
Right.
Or, you know.
You need to literally, like, hang someone from a noose.
Yeah, you got
to and say, I'm doing this because he's black, guys.
Yeah.
It's for that to be considered racist. Anymore, but it doesn't mean the voter part is only part of the equation because Trump is the one who is saying a lot of the shit that they like hearing, so okay, deny that the citizenship is racist. What about the guy? What about the fucking candidate?
Fuck, man.
So
they're gonna figure out a way to, it's not true, that kind of thing.
No.
Yeah, that's basically their answer. No.
What he said, if you really think about it, wasn't really racist.
Not really.
I mean, okay, maybe a little, but...
Just when you thought hearing Trump deny shit that he said is the most annoying thing, and then you have these clowns.
Well, Scarborough is he's a buddy of Trump's. Yeah.
So is Mika.
Yeah.
They're in the fucking tank for Trump.
So
what did you guys think of... the White House correspondence. We didn't get a chance to talk about it.
I only watched a little bit of it.
I watched the whole thing. I was at the draft.
Yeah, I watched a few minutes of it. I think both things that people are saying are true. He did bomb. People were like, no, he didn't. Well, yeah, he did. If you watch the clips.
He even said he did.
It sounds like, it actually, a couple, because they're like, I read a couple write-ups that were like, the crowd was stone-faced. And then it cuts to the crowd. There's some people laughing.
Right.
But you know, like when you hear a comedy set and someone has just the stage mic feed and the crowd isn't mic'd?
Yeah.
It sounded like that. It looked like that even, because you could see people, at least some people laughing.
Yeah. Will
some
Smith
people
was
not
having
laughing.
A ball.
Some people.
Will Smith was having a ball.
Some people looking down. Some people on Tinder, you know, like yeah. just not. So he definitely didn't have the room in the palm of his hand or anything, but he definitely was getting more laughs than you could hear on the broadcast, because you could see people laughing. And I've watched comedy sets where people are like doing well even, and you can't hear shit from the crowd.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this
yeah,
is
yeah,
awkward.
Yeah.
So he probably bombed, and also we've all known people that bombed with good jokes.
Yeah.
You know? So it wasn't, he didn't either kill, I mean, some people were like, he destroyed. Some people were like, no, he bombed. It just depends on who you ask.
Well,
you
even know, Wilmer said he lost the room early.
Yeah,
yeah. In the room, but he didn't give a fuck.
I read his write-up. It was great. The girl who interviewed him, Tony Corner, just talked about it today, but I had already read it when the girl was saying, he was like, he was really praising the reporter. She was like, she literally asked all the right questions, and Wilmer gave all the right
answers.
He gave all the right answers. Like, yeah, I bombed so. You know, it was like, yeah, I knew that, but.
But I'll tell you what.
You know, and I was editing on it, because they were talking about how he was saying he was editing on the fly, and they were stunned at that. But we wouldn't be stunned at that, because
right.
we've all done that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do this bit. I'll do this.
Oh, if they didn't like that first
what
part,
else?
They're not going to.
What
gonna,
else?
Yes. So, what do y'all want to talk about?
You go the other way, you're like, well, fuck it. I'll just fucking keep hitting them with this, and I don't give a fuck.
And I like that. Especially, like who would... Could you think of somebody else that you would want to do the last? I mean, I'm sure there's a couple names,
Chris Rock.
But I like
Rock.
That. Well, yeah, well,
sure.
Yeah, but that's like the
exactly.
He just hosted the Oscars.
I'm sure that was the number one choice.
It can't be somebody like Kevin Hart, because Kevin would be funny and would do well.
Right, right, and probably wouldn't do
material. He's not going to do. That's the thing about Kevin Hart. That's the difference between like a guy like Kevin Hart and a guy like Louis C.K. Both very funny, but. Kevin's material, other than the funny, is there's not a lot of risk to it. It's just be funny,
right?
And he'll make fun of himself.
Yeah, and he'll make fun of himself, but he doesn't have the risk of 90% of motherfuckers may not like this. You know, I'm not going to talk about things that people just may not like.
Other thing too with Larry Wilmore. And I know he did stand up years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's done stand up in.
Well, that's what people were. That's what, like,
he didn't have,
like, comics were saying was like, well, he's not a good stand up. I'm like, he's really not.
No, he didn't have he didn't have a lot of. Like, to do jokes like that, he had to have a certain level of charm.
Yeah.
Or he didn't have. There was something lacking about his delivery,
yeah.
The timing, the inflections. It looked like a guy who wasn't that great at comedy.
Yeah.
Like, if you hand those exact jokes word for word. To
me.
To, yeah. I'm going to say to Chris Rock.
The monster. Closing out Obama's.
To a comic who's comfortable telling those kinds of jokes.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying Chris Rock, but it could be a lot of people. I think they would have done better because they would have handled it better. You have to really lean into those jokes.
Yeah.
And Larry Wilmore, even his voice was like, well, you know, Wolf Blitzer's not even a news show. And like, it's, you have to really fucking believe in what you're saying.
Yeah.
And nail that line.
Yeah, that
you can't say it
was...
with a shrug. You can't say it with a lilt in your voice. And when you do, the crowd gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to show them, look, I really am. I believe in what I'm saying. And even then, when they don't laugh, they don't feel uncomfortable. It's not like weird in the room. The thing is, there's a room full of reporters. So who's going to report on this? People in the room.
Yeah,
so if they're uncomfortable, their story is going to be
Dave Siegel texted
uncomfortable.
Me. Dave
feeling.
Siegel texted me. He was like, oh, he bombed. I didn't like it. I'm like, dude, you work for CNN. I know where you work.
But
I like you,
we've all seen people bomb where it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not just the comic is uncomfortable. The crowd doesn't like that feeling either. It's a bad feeling.
Larry wasn't uncomfortable.
But we've seen it. What I'm saying is we've seen it. We've also seen people bomb where it's not really that uncomfortable in the room.
Yeah.
The comic is in control and the crowd is off the hook. They don't feel that responsible for this awkwardness. So they don't walk away thinking that was awkward. They just think, oh, that wasn't very funny.
Yeah,
that room was awkward. And that's most likely, I think, because Larry Wilmore didn't have the chops to deliver those jokes. You can tell the way he delivers them. He didn't hit them with the right tone. And so the crowd leaves feeling awkward. And the crowd is the one writing the story.
I loved it. So, yeah, and they're writing the story. That's what I'm saying. They're reporting on it.
But if you leave a room and it's awkward and people say, how was the show? You're like, oh, God, that was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you leave a room where someone just bombed, but it wasn't awkward, it was just a bad set, you'd be like, eh, wasn't that funny? Yeah. That's the story. So they now write the story after having been uncomfortable for 20 minutes or whatever it was. And so, of course, the narrative is going to be awkward, bombing, discomfort, because that's how they felt. Yeah. That's how they were the crowd. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
part of that's on him because I don't think he really had the comedic delivery part down. The jokes were there, whatever, but he didn't necessarily sell them.
Yeah, I don't really care. I liked the bits. I liked the things he was talking about. I liked the way he went after the press for failing to do this. I liked the way he hammered fucking Wolf Blitzer because I thought the same exact thing watching him during the debate. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Wolf? You know, he could have delivered it better, but that's... I'm like, that to me...
He's not a performer.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I know that because I know about Larry Wilmore.
Right.
So if you know about Larry Wilmore, you're like, this is probably going to be... This is him. This is what he does. So this is what you're going to get. I liked the closeout bit ending with nigga. I liked it. I was interviewed by the Washington Post about it, and I called it. In the interview, they asked me.
That was like 6 months ago, right?
Right. When they announced it, I did the interview, and I said, him and Obama are men of about the same age, the same life experiences, the same thing of, you know, you're black, but you're not really black. I mean, listen to what black people have been saying about him all this week. I just didn't like the way he said nigga. If he had just said nigga better, I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Are you fucking stupid? This man stood up in front of basically white America, the white media, and spoke to Barack Obama in a way that they can't speak to. They can't talk to him. Barack Obama, the leader of the free world, acknowledged him speaking to him that way. They had a moment between themselves, and you're concerned with the way he said the word? You in your fucking mind? Sit down somewhere with that bullshit. He just didn't say it. He didn't say it black enough for
me. There's that thing about not having the charm and the polish.
Yeah, but
not performing it right. That's what they're saying,
but
essentially.
Obama, that was a moment between the two of them. That's a moment between two black men. See the moment for what it is. Don't see the moment for, he didn't say it the way
he's performing for me.
He didn't say the way I would have said it. I'm like, well, you know what? You wouldn't have said it. Every other black comedian that has been up here saying this, I would have said, you wouldn't have said it. You wouldn't even think to say it. You wouldn't even think to say it. And that's what sets Larry apart from you, because you wouldn't even thought of it. And Larry was like, I'm going to fucking say this.
That's the last word that Obama hears on his last correspondence dinner.
I'm going to fucking say this
shit. It's an ugly word.
Yeah.
No one should say it.
And good. I was telling a therapist just today, I like when people are uncomfortable and off balance. I like that. You're uncomfortable and off balance about things that are true.
Good. Well, yeah, and it makes you have to face it.
I'm glad that makes you uncomfortable. You know why? The leader of a major political party in this country is a racist. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, remember...
So let's talk about the way these two dudes are talking to each other like they know each other.
I think there's something you would post up on Facebook where it was like, that was just a moment between two black men that knew what white people were watching and didn't care.
They don't care. I don't care what you think.
Maybe this is why I'm pulling away a little bit from like Facebook and all these things, because this almost the exact same conversation happened when Obama said that word on WTF.
On Mayor's podcast.
And so all these people who were like, what? Who... you know, ostensibly would have been enlightened to the situation by all the conversations and think pieces that took place after that to sort of educate people on why the context of this.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't take because here it is again, and people are literally having the same reaction.
Yeah.
So all these conversations online where information is passed back and forth, people still don't. They just want to be mad for something. They even when it just happened a few months ago, a similar thing.
Yeah,
where Obama said
very
the word,
similar.
And people had very similar reactions about how it's disrespectful to the office and this.
Yeah,
and that.
How dare he say that? I'm like, you think he's the only one in this office who said that?
Yeah,
and just disregarding the context.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Really?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what.
That's what's
do.
So crazy.
I'm
going to
take the context completely out of it.
Well, you know, Nixon said it Freely.
Freely.
In the Oval Office.
But Johnson in context. Now freely. They're going to play it in the context.
Right. Yeah, Johnson said it freely.
So,
but that was just the time they lived in.
Right.
And then, but
oh, you're going to take that context into it.
If this happens, though, let's say 6 months from now, let's say November, there's another thing where that word comes up surrounding the president. He says it, someone says it to him, something.
During Trump's inauguration speech.
Yeah, it definitely happened.
And the crowd, no one has a problem.
Got that nigger out of office. Yay!
But if it comes up again where Obama uses it or acknowledges it or someone says it, you know, within that context, people are going to have the exact same reactions they're having now and that they had 6 months ago. No one's learning anything. No one's getting anything out of these conversations. Maybe not no one. I'm sure some people are. But it seems like people just, instead of trying to grow from it, are just like, a new reason to be mad. And they just say, oh, I'm mad at the president again. Yay. And then that goes away. And then even if they acknowledge at the end of a 100-comment-long Facebook thread, oh, you guys, it's a good point. 6 months later, that didn't take, and they have the same shit again. So it's just people aren't necessarily even angry at Wilmore or angry even at Obama sometimes. They're just angry people, and they're dumping it out on these particular targets. And they need to get it out of their system. So it's more about them and their issues and what they're going through in their lives than anything else. A lot of this shit with Trump, it's like he's really tapped into an anger. Yeah, okay, so poor white people are angry.
Yeah.
They're going to have a target for the anger.
Yeah.
It's not going to be themselves.
It's
not
going to
be decisions they made in their lives or things they could fix. It's going to be other people taking away their shit. But they're just angry in general. They would find some other outlet for their anger if Trump wasn't running or if there was, you know, everyone's like Trump, all these people walking away from Trump, all these other politicians are like, I can't in good conscience support Trump, like, you know, Jeb Bush and
you were willing to support Ted
Lindsey Graham and all these people. Yeah, and I was like, well, what if it was Cruz? Cruz is equally crazy. Yeah. People don't realize that. He's maybe more crazy in some ways.
And definitely more creepy.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
So it's not it's not even Trump. It's just these angry people that need something to throw their anger at. And so and Trump is the one who sort of emboldens them to do it right now. Ted Cruz would be too.
Yeah, and
Jeb Bush wasn't.
Trump just knows how to tap into it,
right?
And tend to ride it. And Trump's a racist. I mean, he has a long history all over New York State.
No,
you know, between his running practices, going after the Central Park Five.
Right,
he has a long history of how he deals with the blacks.
Has he ever? New York back in the '80s. I mean, it had like over 1,000 murders a year.
Yeah,
in the city, just a huge number. I don't think there was any other time Trump took out a full-page ad in a newspaper calling for the execution of suspects, not even convicted at that point.
Nope.
But the Central Park Five, he was taking out a full-page ad. The fucking Son of Sam was in New York, right?
He was there.
That was New York,
that's,
right?
That's New York. That's New York.
Was there the full-page ad for that guy? We got to get this guy off the face of the earth.
This guy a death penalty.
It's fucking John
get
Wayne Gacy.
Guy, no.
The guy that shot Lennon in fucking New York City.
Looking ridiculous, you know? That's where we're at. I liked Wilmore. I liked it a lot. I agree with Rod was talking about on his podcast. If you black and you see Wilmore out, you fucking buy him a drink. You buy him dinner.
You want a margarita later?
The rest of his days, man.
Is it frozen? Then no.
Because he did, his whole set was specifically for black people. I don't even want to say it was specifically for black people. It was just from the through the eyes of unfiltered eyes of a black man.
Well, and I like that because it's Obama's last one.
Yeah.
Last one. You know what? Why not?
Yeah.
Do it.
And then you got to follow Obama, which is tough. You know, that's very tough because Obama's
got good delivery.
Obama's funny.
He's a good speaker.
He's got good delivery, great speaker.
It's
going
to be like a showcase where the black comic goes up and just crushes it. And they're like, all right, here comes the white dude. And you're like, oh, shit. Hey, everyone. I know I'm different.
Tell comes in, and you got to follow a tell in the middle of a showcase. Hey, I got to come in and do a quick set before I go. You guys mind? No.
No out loud.
I'll be back. I'm going to go cry for a couple minutes.
No, we don't mind. Bill Burr, go ahead. Chris Rock, sure. Get up there. Louis, go ahead.
I hope you enjoyed that awesomeness. Here's some dude you don't know. Everybody get up.
And you walk up. So, traffic.
So, traffic's weird. I was on the subway again.
Subway? What's the deal with that?
Whenever I sit in front of the map and the guy comes over and puts his balls in my face.
Where are you guys going?
Again. I thought it was where were we at?
An hour and hour eight, hour nine.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
Good. We are crushing it. What do y'all think of as far as, so Trump has won the nomination, basically.
Basically, unless they try to pull some shit, which I don't think they can. I don't think that'll work.
They might, but I doubt
fucking
it.
Fucking Paul
think
Ryan is the savior.
Hey, you know what? Go ahead and try to pull some shit. Let's make this nice and entertaining.
They're not above it. They're not above it. It's just that, could they get away with it?
Before we divide the nation, let's divide our party.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking is, can we get away? Oh, they've already done that. Their party's done. You know,
we're just going to have warring clans in like a year.
I love how they're all fucking eating their balls now that they're all fucking going to cozy up to this guy.
I'm just wondering if Chris Christie's actually still alive, or that's a cardboard cutout they always put behind Trump. Because, dude, it's always the same expression.
It's pretty fucking bad. You ever seen the one where it's him and his wife up there, Chris Christie and his wife? And the wife can't really, she hasn't been doing it long enough out in public to act.
And she's got the welling of tears in her
eyes. Her acting skills are so bad. She's no Ted Cruz's wife. She's this bitch. Yeah. She can't, like, get it.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. I don't think that, Hillary still hasn't really wrapped things up yet. I expect her to.
It's going to be Hillary. It's going to be Hillary. And,
dude, that's what they've wanted from the jump.
I mean,
I think it surprised them that Bernie's been able to pull all these numbers.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know what, man? Just get that ramrod and let's just put it right down.
You know what
the
I don't agree with?
Her hair.
Open primary voting and early voting. I don't agree with that. I hear people talking about that a lot. Basically, an open primary is anybody can vote for anybody
without being registered.
Right, right.
For a party.
Yeah, you can be. So you can be Republican and vote for Democrat. You can be Democrat and vote for Republican.
Then you can fuck with people. You can troll.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's why I don't agree with it.
You can troll.
I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
If you're running to be the titled head of the Democratic Party, then you should only Democrats should be allowed to vote in this thing. If you're running to be Republican, only Republicans should be allowed to vote in this thing. Independence, you don't get to vote in this. You do get to vote for the election. You can vote for whoever the fuck you want to vote for at that point. Who cares? But specifically for a party, you shouldn't be allowed to vote for that.
No, I fully agree
with that. I don't think that that's right. I keep hearing that now because if Bernie's going to win, he's going to win where it's a predominantly white state or it's a state that has that type of voting where anybody can vote for
independence because he's an independent.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And Republicans will vote for him.
To fuck with Hillary.
Just to fuck with her.
Right.
It's not right.
So how about if they made it so for a Democratic primary, Democrats and independents can vote but not Republicans?
I don't like...
Maybe independents can go either way.
I don't like... If you're running to be the head of a party, only people in that party should be able to vote for that. Because they're running to be the head of that party.
Right.
So if you're an independent, you don't get to vote for this because you're not a part of this party. So therefore, you don't get to vote for it. Bernie was an independent. He shifted over to run for the Democrat. Fine. You call yourself a Democrat now. You're running to be the head of the Democrat Party.
Right.
Only people who are Democrats get to vote for you. And that's how it will be decided.
What is the benefit of registering independent?
I don't know.
You can tweet it out and act all high and mighty.
I don't know.
I'm registered, I think, as an independent.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what is there a benefit? I don't know.
So why would you do it? If you care about primaries, why would you do it?
I don't know.
I would go trial by combat.
That's a good one.
How about arm wrestling?
I'm with that
Let's
one.
Let's do some arm wrestling.
Play the Star Trek music.
Now, how good would that Bernie versus Hillary
only
look
if the
to
Star
you?
Trek music now. Is playing. Bernie jumps up and does a two-legged Kirk kick in the chest.
Dude, I couldn't believe Hillary could pick up that broadsword, dude. That's a two-hander.
I mean, I'm with that, but I don't know. As far in the primary process, I think all bets are off as far as the general election. You vote for whoever the fuck you want to vote for.
Right.
You just vote. But the primaries are about the party.
Right.
And if you're going to vote for this, you get the party. And if you're going to vote for this, you should be a member of that party. why do you get to come in here and fuck this shit up?
It's like the they're gonna. It's like we got to vote for the CEO of McDonald's. It's like here come the Burger King people to like, vote. Like, all right, I
why
like
is
Steve.
The king in here?
it's like doing a show at a comedy
Wendy?
Club,
yeah.
where they didn't pay cover. You know? And like they're just there. They papered the room. It's just people who just got in for free. They don't really respect the show. They talk through it.
Yeah,
they heckle. They're not really there for the right reasons. It's one of those situations.
Yeah, but like you're not here. You're not here to help the party. You're here to. I don't know what the fuck you're here to do.
Well,
some people
they would
blow
say,
parties up.
They would say, "Yes, I'm actually what I'm doing is helping the party."
Well, no, you're
because
not.
I'm helping Bernie, and Bernie's the best candidate for the party.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
That's what they would say.
Well, if that's the case, why aren't you registered in the party? You can do that.
I choose not to register because I don't want to be on mailing lists. And,
I am too busy vaping to go and register.
Put her in a state that has a close primary, she wins going away. Put her in a state where there's more than just 92% white people, she wins going away. Put her in a state that's like 97% white with an open primary, Bernie wins. You know, it just, I don't like the open primary process. I think it's you shouldn't be allowed to vote in a primary if you're not of this party. There's no reason.
What states have it, though? Is that the thing?
It's you.
People clamor.
I personally
for it.
Don't know until it pops up, and somebody will say, "Oh, this is open primary." I'm like, yeah. "Oh, well, yeah."
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not down with OP?
No, not down with OP.
That not extra P with, means a lot.
Not down with OP. I'm not down with OP. Now, now, buddy, close the primary process and let the parties decide this. And become a member of the party. I'm going to be an independent. Then you get to vote when the election time comes.
The worst is like how do you fix it without a civil war? You know, like there's just so many opinions and ways of seeing stuff. It's like no one can come. There's nothing. There's no one wants to come to an agreement. They want their side. They want the.
Well, it didn't used to be that way.
It used to be
civil disagreements.
Yeah. Right. And I don't think that people. I might be underestimating, but I don't know if people like. It's almost like their world is about them. It's like, no, dude, we're all in the same spot.
They don't want to live.
A lot of people, they really perk up when you explain to them how they're a victim.
Yeah,
because then that explains away all their bad decisions and all their problems, and they can sort of latch onto that. So there's a lot of people. That's the direction people go now. Like it wasn't your fault. It was someone else's fault.
And it's just such
and
the
so,
easy way.
Yeah, but that's what people, that's how they get them now. You know, you just convince someone that they're a victim of the world, and you're going to fix that for them. You know, so people aren't willing to have discussions about that or, you know, civilized debate. They just want to crush the other side because that's the only reason their life is bad as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
That's the only reason. It's just none of my decisions had anything to do with this. Or just the dumb luck of the world. It's just all these damn women getting rights and black people getting rights. And what's next?
Mexicans.
Mexicans getting rights.
Hispanics.
Rights getting taken away from me.
Hispanics.
For all that talk and clamoring about we need to have a serious discussion about race. Well, the correspondence dinner really just opened that up. And ain't nobody's no
That's
one's going through
saying.
That door.
No one's lie. Going through
this,
no one
this can happen every
6 months
and people will just go right back to the beginning. Nothing's going to be built from this.
Do you know why people don't want to have the discussion? Because if you're white, the discussion is, you know, your people have really fucked over a lot of people. And what are you going to do about it? There's not a lot of.
What me?
There's a lot of examples of the fuckery. And.
Hey, dude, I'm fine with the. Hey, dude, start with a public apology. Go ahead and do that, dude. Other nations have done that.
They don't even want to do that. So there's a lot of. Hey, London.
Well, how are we
going to
start the healing?
Well, here's something. London just elected a Muslim mayor.
What? London?
Sadiq Khan, son of a Pakistani immigrant bus driver, wins even though his opponent tried to link him to extremists.
You don't have to try. Wow. He's Muslim.
I wonder how bad that dude was. What were his skeletons, man?
You know, and that's the thing about having a discussion about race. What's the discussion about race? What is the discussion? People talk about that we need to have an open and honest dialogue about race in this country. Okay.
Here it is.
What are we talking about?
The way that goes is black people will say, white people, you got to acknowledge that there's racism. And there's a system in place, and maybe you didn't directly create it, but you do benefit from it, right? And,
yes.
And that's what black people say to white people, and then white people say back to black people, it's no. your fault. You should just get a job. So each side is telling the other person that they have a bigger part in it than they think, right? Talking right past each other. Now, one side is generally going to be more right. But it just turns into defensiveness because the black person puts the white person on the defensive, and the white person then lashes out to, well, no, you guys just focus on families and don't commit crimes, and where's your fathers, the black fathers, and it's just bullshit bumper stickers.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's why I started the Black Daddies hashtag. I don't know if I started it, but I do. And when I see fathers out or something, I'll take a picture and post it. Black daddies. That's literally the only reason. Black daddies are seen as non-existent. I'm like, I can name three right off the top of my head that are doing very good jobs. Haywood, Russ Green, and myself. Literally right there. That's three right off the top of my head that I know personally.
You know, well, it doesn't help when there's all sorts of, you know, the three strikes penalty.
Yes.
And there's just a plethora of stuff that, there's benefits that help.
Get
the
a job,
white.
Though.
Yeah.
Get a job. Get a better job. Stay in school.
Oh, yeah, because every business is known for hiring black guys.
Black
you
on
know.
Black crime.
Yeah, yeah.
You right, know. Right. Yes. Oh, that real minor section race on race crime.
The black on black crime.
It's like a parrot that knows like five phrases.
Right.
And just shout. You're like, hey, parrot.
N-word.
Hey, parrot. Hey, parrot, do you want to acknowledge the system of racism? It's just in the justice system that gives unfair penalties to black people.
Brat, what about fathers?
And it's like, it's that. It's just the same shit. It's a magic eight ball that you just shake. And it's like,
right, ask again later.
Yeah, exactly.
Outlook not so good.
So it's not a discussion anyway. It's never a discussion. It's just people trying to win points.
And when you do, the whole thing about Larry Wilmore was, as we close this one up, you know the whole thing about Larry Wilmore was, here's the whole big complaint about Larry Wilmore that's unsaid, but said but unsaid. He can say that, and I can't say that to him.
Right.
That's it.
No one should be able to say it.
That's the whole thing.
If I can't say it. No one can
say it. How dare he say that to
just
him?
Just so fucking childish.
It is childish.
It's just so childish.
I tell people, I say it all the time, and I say it again. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, from the age of 10 on until I left Texas. I know all the slur words for Mexicans, all of them. I grew up around Mexicans. I heard them call each other wetback all the time. Heard them call each other beaner all the time. Talk about how they didn't, your family just swam across all the time. It would never occur to me to say the words to them.
Right.
It would just never occur to me to do that.
Yeah.
Because I understand that those words are for them to call each other.
Right.
Why? Because I'm scared of them? I'm not scared of anybody. I'll bust their little ass. I'm not scared of them.
I'm guessing it's because you're respectful.
That's,
I don't know.
That's. I'm not scared. It's just their word. Now, if I'm smart enough to figure that out, how come you can't seem to figure it out?
Well,
let's say they didn't have that experience. Let's say they grew up in a total homogenized white world, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But
I didn't. But
let's say they did, because a lot of people did. There are certain words you won't say around your grandmother.
There you go.
You won't say cocksucker.
Yeah,
around your grandmother. Or the hard R.
Yeah,
cocksucker.
Because you respect your grandmother.
Right. So there's words that you won't say around a child.
Yeah.
You know, or any number of situations like that. So you do understand.
I know it
context.
Seems like I say outlandish shit around my child, but she's not around when we're talking.
Not really.
Generally, not.
Sometimes
really.
She walks by. And,
yeah, and yeah. We'll clam up.
We'll
I don't say
sheepish.
There's a lot of things I don't say around her.
Yeah.
I very rarely cuss around my parents. I don't even really say nigga that much. I don't say it on stage. I have maybe two jokes that involve me not saying it, but I'm not going to not say it because I say it in the joke. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So I still do say it,
it's
but just in my life as I'm walking, I don't
for much different reasons.
Well, let's hope. Andy does, piece of shit.
Mostly.
This guy.
Mostly off the podcast. I have an image to
mostly.
Maintain.
You know, it's just, you know how to censor yourself and not censor yourself. I figured out what it is about the Mexican thing. You know why? Because Mexicans speak Spanish and Latin people speak Spanish and they don't understand what they're saying. That's why. You know, people talk about how black entertainment television, what about white entertainment television?
I'm like,
do you know that there are 4 Spanish stations in this country? On the low end.
Telemundo.
4. Telemundo, Univision, Galavision, and then there's another one.
Spike TV?
No. Food Network.
No, I know this because in San Antonio, they're all on.
Right.
Where I was growing up, they're all on television.
It's a whole package on the cable.
There's like 4. You don't ever hear nobody complaining about that. You know why? Because they're in Spanish and no one watches them. That's the only reason.
Right.
That's the only reason. But BT, you know, how dare they have their own thing?
Well, I'll tell you
how many Korean television stations do you see up here in this area?
Yeah, you got to go to like those out of the way channels.
Yeah,
like the boondocks of the cable system.
They there.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because personally, this might be the positive person that in me that I sometimes really hate. But honestly, like especially in just meeting people on the street, meeting new people, everyone you go to, I think the majority of people you'll meet know that and understand that. I think it's that minority, however small, however big, is what gets all of the press. That's where the stories of shit come out of.
Yeah.
And when it's just shoved in your face, you start to assume that, like, oh, well, that's got to be more than half the country.
But then there's there are a lot of moments where, like, let's say the person that you wouldn't expect to feel that way.
Yeah,
gets fired, and a black guy takes their job. And guess what? Now they start saying that shit. You know, you're like, oh, at 2, you know, like it's so there's it might be lurking in people.
Well, there's a moment for me that because of that lurkingness, that anytime I meet somebody, shouldn't I just assume that part of them thinks like
oh,
that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you have to because you got to be on guard because you don't want to put your heart out there.
Yeah, so I have to stay in an on guard position all the time, and I got to make it look like I'm not in an on guard position all the time because then I guess people upset. They're like, well, what's the problem? So I got to act like I'm not, but I am in an on guard position.
Well, it's hard to hide. You're standing sideways with a sword.
Yeah, exactly. A curvy sword.
On guard.
And why are your knees bent?
I just assume and then wait and be in a position of, okay, well, prove me wrong.
And dude, that's sad, man.
Fight
that's,
the north.
That sucks,
just
man.
Just prove me wrong then. I'm not going to say anything to you.
Right.
But prove me wrong. And I will be, but if it turns and goes the other way, like Chris Rock did that great joke about that, is like if a white person does something racist and I'm stunned, that's my fault. Like, why did I not think that this was going to happen? You should think that. It's your fault.
And by the way, that dude that got fired and got replaced by the black guy, the victim, I guess, you know, they can easily fall into that. Maybe you should have been better at your job and you wouldn't have gotten fired. Yeah, take some responsibility.
You got fired for a reason.
Maybe it was that Make America Great hat.
They hired Darnell because for whatever other reason.
Right.
But get rid of your ass.
Even I'm just going to get a job with the Klan now. Whatever.
Even Darnell's like, really? How bad was that guy? He must have been awful.
I must have fucked up.
That guy, Timmy, he stank. That's the people we got to bring it home on that.
We're overtime.
We are a little overtime.
Yeah.
We want to thank you guys for coming in. We want to thank Chad Heff for sitting with us today, who's in town. We want to thank all you guys for listening. Chad, give me your social stuff, please.
On Twitter and on Instagram. Going to be at Chad Heft, and I'm Chad Wick Heft on Facebook. That's a little more proper.
There you go.
Right.
John Wick.
Chad Wick. Also, whenever you see a Photoshop with like the sock puppet logo, or remember we did the Bernie's Deli thing, and it
Chad
had, like,
does all the art.
That's Chad.
We don't even ask. Monster.
No, sometimes you just get inspired, man.
Randolph Terrence Monster.
Chad runs
with Sean
computer,
Hannity.
Fires
Chad
up does Photoshop. The work.
3SPN.
Chad will
3SPN,
do the work.
3SPN, Sock Puppet Nation.
Yeah, Petey Steele.
Chad
original.
Came up with those.
Yeah, all baby. Right.
So that's.
You got anything coming?
I can't think of it. There's probably something.
First week of June, I'm at Magoobies in Baltimore. The second, I think it's a Thursday, Friday, the first week of June. So the tail end of the last week of this month is because it's the first is on Wednesday, I think.
Right.
So it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Third. I want to say second, third, and fourth. I'm at the DC Improv. I'm at Magoobies with DC Benny. He's a guy
it's
really.
The DC
he's
that
a guy I really like, and a guy that you all would like too. So I'm there with DC Benny. So where you at?
You know what? If you're in the DC, the Northern Virginia area, I'm doing Ragtime
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Yeah.
With Andy Klein.
I'm on there, and also Matt Ruby. It's in the courthouse in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah, come through. It's a great spot. I just did it the other day. And I'm probably going to come hang out.
Yeah, and I'm in town mostly to see my son graduate college on Sunday. And I think that's the first time he's going to come out.
White daddies.
Yeah, white daddies.
White daddies.
Getting it done.
Officially getting the paper.
That's his first time seeing you.
Yeah, I think Wednesday. So yeah, I want to bring
his first time seeing you in life.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's his first time ever seeing you in person.
Ever. Hashtag black daddies.
Hey, I like to mix it up. I'm bringing the people together.
Hashtag black daddies.
Yeah, man. I want to throw down that night. So come on out to Ragtime. Should be a good time.
All right. So we will be there, and I want to thank everybody for coming in. I want to thank everybody who went to the tip jar. I want to thank everybody who's been doing everything.
Buy Tim's album, Rule of Thirds.
Do that.
Oh, Tim Miller.
It's great. Get it.
Tim Miller.
Come on back on Thursday. We'll be here for you guys. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And today we have who?
Sock Club of number 99 Problems, Chad Heft.
Chad Heft. And we have three guys on today, and we are out.
This style seems wild. Wait before you treat me like a stepchild. Let me tell you why they got me on file, because I give you what you lack. Right in next back, our status is the status, so I care where you at. Black in at home, I got a call from Tony Rome. The FBI was tapping my telephone. I never live alone, I never walk alone. My posse's always ready and they're waiting in my zone. Although I live the life that of a resident, but I be knowing the scheme that of the president. Tapping my phone, who screws, abuse, I stand accused of doing harm.